Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. And again, thank you for joining us after this new year. We recorded the last show just before New Year's, but here we go. And we're into the new year. And of course, there's many, many significant, really, really earth-shaking things that are happening this week, I think. So, Pat, you want to start with do I need to introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay.
Why not?
Well, why not? Okay. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Very
and
good.
We begin to wish everyone a happy new year.
Finks will join us.
And the Finks will join us, yes.
Shortly.
Kim and Glenn will join us shortly. Pat, you have a significant earth-shaking thing that you want.
Well, it's not earth-shaking, but it's a Fannie Gate update. She was found in contempt by the court in the Judicial Watch suit against her that was based on a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act. For any documents related to the contact between her office and the
White House, was it?
The White House J6 Special Counsel Jack Smith and any other contact up there. And she refused to even answer the suit. She didn't even file an answer. So she was found in default. And that makes her on the hook for their attorney's fees. So the court has just awarded $22,000 in attorney's fees.
Now, will that come out of her pocket or out of the that'll come out of the city's
pocket? Unfortunately, the county has to pay it.
The county has to pay that.
Well, the county elected her.
Although, according to her, on her daddy's advice, she keeps $18,000 in cash in her house because she claimed that she had cash to reimburse Nathan for those trips they took.
Well, the county elected her.
Re-elected her.
Re-elected her, knowing all this of all the scandals. So, I mean, I hate to have it on the taxpayers, but the taxpayers are also the voters, and the elections have consequences. They voted for her.
Well, and it shows, Mary, I think, the degree to which there's really a disparity between a lot of the urban centers in the country and the rest of the country, the rural suburban areas, because like we were discussing just a few minutes ago, Pat, is that the Republican Senate in Georgia is going to pursue having Fannie Willis testify before their investigatory effort to find out what went on with this. And that would obviously not happen if it was controlled by Democrats.
That committee is asking for the same documents that Judicial Watch was asking for that she declined to even answer.
And she declined to state that they even exist.
Right.
Yeah. And we're going to take an instant break. We'll be right back. Alan, sorry for the interruption. I'll let you.
It's okay, Bob. There's just something, a generic kind of topic that I think I just want to follow up. Back earlier in the show, back early December, late November, we talked about this issue on the program. In fact, I wrote an article about it for the CCTA page in the County Compass. But essentially it was that the 20th Amendment, which exists to define the amount of time between the election and inauguration, which was modified in 1935. It used to be March 4th was inauguration, and then he moved it back to January 20th. And we had discussed the danger of having even that long delay. And we are seeing that in spades at this time. All the things that the Biden administration is doing now to try to prevent and make it difficult for Donald Trump when he comes in to do the things that he has promised the people and the people have voted for. So there's a number of issues that Biden just keeps coming out every day with new policies. Like one of the things he announced the other day, which was really mind-boggling to me, had to do with him excluding millions of acres of offshore land, basically, water cover, ocean territory, that they can't be drilled on. And one man, okay, one administration, the idea that that person, one person, could come in and exclude such a high percentage of what this country owns from development just because of his wish to do that. You know, and then they were accusing Trump of wanting to be a dictator. That's about as autocratic as you can imagine.
If I could just chip in on that. You know, it sounds like, hey, it's a big ocean, so maybe that's not much. But I saw a map today. It's the whole West Coast from Canada to Mexico. It's the whole East Coast from the northern border all the way around Florida's Gulf Coast. And then you can start again beyond the panhandle of Florida. That's how much is isolated on this. It's essentially 90% of our coastlines, maybe more.
Yeah. And what's really ironic about that is these are the places where they're putting in the windmills that are killing the whales.
That's right. I saw a map on that, the whole East Coast from Georgia, North Carolina, or South Carolina, North Carolina, north, all sorts of windmills.
Well, before he did the coast, he did the Ruby Mountains in Nevada. There's a whole bunch of federal acres there, and he said they couldn't be drilled.
Yeah, and he declared, and that might be one of the places, he declared two areas out in the California, I believe, calling them national monuments,
Ruby Mountain.
Which basically means you can't touch anything about it.
Right.
You know, national.
He's trying to make it impossible for Trump to drill baby drill.
Yeah, to do exactly what the people voted him to do. So it's not just that he's. That the Biden administration is trying to block Trump. He's blocking the will of the people.
Well,
because the people are the ones that voted for this. And this is why this long duration between the election and the inauguration needs to be reduced. It needs to get down to 5 days a week at the most so that they go ahead and get the old administration out.
The law... It cannot be repealed either. It's an executive order, but it's got connections to a 1950-something
land. They're going to have to fight this out in the courts, which is going to take a while. This is not, as much as Biden is claiming it is, this is not a peaceful transition of power.
No, it's
this
sabotage.
Is how many landmines can I throw
well,
in front of the
in
new...
Anybody that would give George Soros a freedom medal is making sure we understand that he's spitting in our face on his way out the door.
Or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, she's bad enough, but Soros.
Liz Cheney?
Yeah. That's the point.
Soros has global tentacles.
Yes,
Hillary just has U.S. tentacles.
There are countries that have barred him from being there.
And he has an arrest warrant in Hungary.
We can't kick him out because he's a U.S. citizen.
See, and the problem now becomes, what does Trump do? He wants to allow the drilling, which is so critical to the future of this country. We need to get back the cheap energy. We need to be able to supply our allies with natural gas and other energy sources so that they're not reliant on Russia.
Well, we need energy independence is what
we need.
We need to get it back.
He's blocking it. Now, what can Trump do? Now, he may have to, and I would support this, he should just go ahead and authorize the executive order, violate the law, and let the consequences fall the other way. In other words, he needs to go ahead and do it. They need to start the drilling, regardless of what that law says, and then deal with the consequences, not sit around waiting for the courts, because it could take years. He could be out of office by the time they resolve it.
Yeah, Biden did the loan thing in spite of the courts telling him he couldn't
How
do
is
it.
He going to get a civil company to drill under those circumstances with the future and the liability up in question?
Pass some sort of a guarantee that the federal government will reimburse them if they get sued. I don't know, but it's got to be done because we can't go 2, 3, 4 years without being able to develop our energy just because Biden wants to do it on his way out. We can't allow that.
Yeah, and the left will tell you that, hey, we're making more oil, producing more oil than we have in years, but they don't think about the delay of exploration, permitting drilling. And if we don't do some heavy work that Trump's talking about, we won't maintain where we're at, let alone get bigger.
And I think there's also outstanding oil land leases that are out there that, you know, some of them are already paid for.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's like I was saying, that we cannot defend the country and defend our allies if they remain dependent on Russia,
you know,
for energy. And that's what we're dealing with. So this is not a small issue. This is not just an issue that affects our country. It affects the entire world and affects the security and the global status of the world.
One of the mindsets that I think Biden may have, no, I don't want to give him too much of a mindset. Sorry about that.
Handlers.
But one of the mindsets is he is doing some of this because I believe he thinks the media will back him up, that Trump is picking, you know, is doing all of this stuff in order to get even, whatever else. He does not know that the media is toothless right now. That media is very, very corrupt, very toothless, does not have any credibility. He's not aware of that.
Oh, I think his handlers are just doing their checklist, their lefty checklist. What can we get done on our way out the door? Mm-hmm. And he's willing to sign it because he's got bad feelings that, hey, they kicked me aside. I could have beat Trump. you know, they kicked me aside, and I'm leaving with my butt on my shoulder.
Yeah,
he is convinced he could have beat Trump.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that the Republicans will actually see what this problem is and do something about it. We cannot allow this long delay between elections and inaugurations, because this could happen again and again and again.
That's a constitutional amendment thing, isn't it, Alan?
It's a constitutional amendment, but it was changed in 1935. It can be done.
Right.
And I think Biden has given people enough evidence as to why it needs to be done.
And we want to do it without calling a constitutional convention.
Yes.
No, folks, no constitutional convention.
We don't need a convention.
No. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We will be right back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, folks. And again, thank you for staying with us. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. And by the way, as we're recording this thing, we've got 12 more days of speculation. So let's go into our speculation mode.
I'm afraid he's going to declare an amnesty for all the illegal aliens.
Now, you're talking about
Biden?
President Biden.
Yeah, on his way out the door.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Can he do that?
What was the other one? He let 11?
He let 11 of the Guantanamo terrorists out to go home to Yemen.
Oh, yay.
To get back in.
Are they going to Yemen or Oman? Do you know?
I thought it was Yemen.
No, I think it's Oman.
I think they're Yemenis.
But he's sending them to Oman.
Oman.
Because if he sends them to Yemen, then everybody understands that they will be going back to terrorism. If he sends them to Oman, he can say, well, we're just rehabilitating them.
They send them to Oman. We all realize that it'll take them at least a week to get home to Yemen.
Yeah. And I would like to point out that as in 2015, and I don't have any more current numbers, the recidivism rate of terrorists released from Guantanamo was 30%. One out of three.
One out of three went back to work?
Went back to terrorism. And, you know, one of them is referred to as formerly Al-Qaeda. There's no such thing as formerly Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry. There just isn't.
Or ISIS.
Well, we saw, you know, we saw the threat with this guy that in New Orleans where he drove his truck into these things and he had an ISIS flag or something in the back of his truck, and he was motivated by that. And there's a person who was in the military, and you would think that would be committed to this country, but he wasn't. And then we have these terrorists in Guantanamo. And then then Biden's talking about exchanging, doing a prisoner exchange with this one really high-level terrorist that's in Guantanamo and swapping him with, what, three people that are being held in Afghanistan, of course, which he left behind, of course, because he didn't handle the Afghanistan withdrawal properly. And now we're going to swap these people out. So the terrorists, I mean, should he get caught, they're going to turn around and get released anyway. My opinion, they should be executed.
I have a question, and it's going to show my historical ignorance to some degree. But where in the Constitution or under what authority do the executive orders come from? Because it seems to me that that is king for a day, as Pat said earlier, where you can arbitrarily play king with no congressional oversight. So
the power of the executive is clearly set out in the Constitution.
Foreign relations.
No, the division into three branches of government. The executive is one of our branches, and the president is the head of the executive branch. He is responsible for running that branch. So his executive orders, one would think, were centered on running his branch, like realigning departments, setting personnel staffing issues, recognizing somebody for superior service. Things like that. And it's evolved, like most everything else, into I think I have a wild hair and I'll put 2,000 troops in Syria, which is the bee in my bonnet today, without any congressional approval.
But it just seems to me that there should be congressional oversight over the legitimacy of an executive order that affects the security of the country.
Well, there is a law. He broke the law. Authorization to use military force outside the U.S.
He broke the law with student loans, too, but nobody seems to care.
No, they haven't done anything about that.
And we're not sure who's responsible for taking care of prisoners. Is it the executive branch or is it the judicial branch that supposedly is
Those are military prisoners.
Those are military prisoners. Okay, so then
they're in the executive branch.
They're within the executive.
Yeah, because he's the commander in chief.
But he stretched to local when he did the death row clearing.
No, that's federal death row.
But that's still, is that executive or should that be judicial?
No, it's part of his commutation power, pardon power in the Constitution as executive.
there are some positive things going on. there is. I've kind of getting a chuckle and a kind of think Trump's getting some people really interested and aroused with some of his comments, like changing it from the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, which I love that idea.
MTG is introducing a bill to that effect.
Okay, that's
great.
And under
what authority does he... Can he do that?
Why not?
Executive
Why
order.
Not? Why not?
It's executive order.
Yeah, but what about all the other people that like Mexico? Why would Mexico agree to?
They don't have to agree. We changed what we call it.
Let's only go back about 10 years or so when they renamed Mount McKinley Mount Denali.
And
why?
Trump says he's putting it back to Mount McKinley.
Yeah. Mount McKinley.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's already got the lefty. Oh, how dare you! You're not multicultural because this is what the tribes call it, Denali.
Yeah, Obama was the one that had a change.
Yeah, Obama did that
from McKinley to Denali. But the other thing is more interesting, I guess, more significant is Trump's comments about Greenland, wanting to perhaps make Greenland. Buy Greenland from whoever owns it.
Denmark says it's not for sale. It's a territory.
Well, but
something.
The thing is, though.
Greenland tried to announce freedom from Denmark.
Well, if you remember what, and the Panama Canal. Now, people might look at that and say, well, that's insignificant. He's just made, but here's the deal. Greenland has always been an issue with this country. Particularly in regards to the Soviet Union back in the 50s. And in fact, I believe it was President Truman attempted to buy Greenland from Denmark back then because we felt like we needed to have the security of having the control over Greenland to protect our country. And the same thing with the Panama Canal. We built it, and then Carter came along, and he's the one that turned it over to the government of Panama. But the question now is, we're dealing with China. China is trying to influence and control these areas, like the Panama Canal. They're putting money in there. They're working with the Panamanian government, and...
We're being charged exorbitant use fees through the Panama Canal, which is not part of the agreement.
Now, couldn't the people of Greenland, couldn't they vote? And my understanding is the population of Greenland, the permanent population, is very, very low.
60,000.
Yeah, we outnumber
60,000
our military
people.
Present, yeah. I think, almost outnumber.
It's Craven County. Well, no, it's the greater... New Bern area.
60,000.
But my feeling is we don't have to buy them or own them. Why couldn't we just act like they were a Puerto Rico and be in partnership for protection and trade? And
because they're owned by the country of Denmark.
Yeah, but if they rebel and become independent, see, this is what happened to Panama. Panama didn't even exist as a country. They were part of, it wasn't Venezuela, anyway, I'll think in a minute. But anyway, they were part of a larger country which would not accept putting the Panama Canal through there. We encouraged them to separate and become independent from that other country, Nicaragua, I think it was. And so then we supported them. We could do the same thing there. We encouraged the people in Greenland to stand up, become it. This is what happened in Texas. Texas was owned by Mexico. We supported Texas as they became independent, and then, you know, we were able to influence the possession of Texas.
But I'm sorry.
So what I'm saying is that there's a way of doing this, whether Denmark likes it or not. If the people in Greenland that exist there, if they are encouraged to become independent, then we can support them, be allies with them, do whatever, like you're saying about Puerto Rico, not making them a state necessarily.
Make them a colony.
Make them a territory or have to give them the benefit. And they might be in favor of that. I don't know whether they've canvassed the 60,000
people.
Well,
the king of Denmark has made the bunny on his coat of arms bigger that represents Greenland, well, just to show Trump.
I thought
Trump.
It was a bear. It's a bunny?
It's a bunny. I'm sorry.
I thought it was a bear, too. But anyway.
Oh, maybe it's a polar bear. I thought it was a bunny.
more appropriate for Greenland than a bunny. But,
yeah, you know. It would be.
But Greenland is strategic in terms of keeping an eye on shipping lanes. Absolutely. And keeping shipping lanes clear.
Actually, it's there to watch intercontinental ballistic missile launches.
Yep.
Coming across the pole.
And I think Trump has made that issue that these things are relevant to our security.
Yeah, they were saying that there are Chinese ships at both ends of that Panama Canal.
We got to face the facts that China is closing in on us and what is threatening us. And I think Trump is very well informed and wanting to do something about it.
Yeah, you know, when before Trump ever got into politics, he used to make comments all the time on political situations, and people would just blow him off because, you know, he's the apprentice guy, who cares what he thinks. But when you go back and look at him, he was right. Yes. I mean, he's no dummy.
Yes.
And, you know, he will also make comments that'll set somebody off kilter. Whether it's renaming the Gulf of Mexico, whether it's Greenland, whether it's deciding to make
Canada
a state, he's setting people so they're not going to think or what do I say, negotiate rationally. They're just off kilter.
Just to set the record straight, Panama was originally part of Colombia before it separated in 1903.
Which we encouraged them to separate because we wanted to build a canal there, and Colombia didn't want us to do that. Yes.
Colombia is not contiguous because they're on a different continent.
Yeah, I thought there was Nicaragua. Obviously, I was misinformed. But the point is, who else that would have run for a president would come out and say these things that Trump's doing? We need to take over Greenland. Who else has the courage to come out and make things and that seem so irrational? But they, in reality, there's a good basis.
No, what there's I'm saying, there's a national security basis.
Yeah, there is a good reason for what he's talking about. But how many GOP politicians would have the courage to stand up and be controversial?
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah, and when he was asked questions in his recent hour-plus
interview.
Thank you, they said, well, would you bring forces,
military force, and economic leverage.
Yeah, and well, but the big thing they were pointing at was military forces, and he said he would not take that off the table.
Yes.
Now, then they said, how about Canada? He said, no, that would just be economic. But Greenland and the Panama... military forces are on the table. That amps it up.
Yeah.
Big time.
That gets everybody, that wakes people up. And they've got to figure out what's he going to do next. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be back.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it. People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Folks, we just did a show in the break period, so now we got to come back and do the show for ourselves.
Good editing. Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're tired of talking about it now.
We're tired of talking about it.
We've already talked about it. Okay, move on.
Alan, you wanted to add another thing.
Yeah, just one more thing about what's going on with Donald Trump. And again, I certainly respect and like to see somebody who stands up for what they believe in, and that's what we voted for, and that's what we're getting. And he did make a comment about these hostages. You know, he's come out several times. This has went on for weeks. He's been saying, if the hostages are not released by the time I'm inaugurated, all hell is going to break loose in the Middle East.
And Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, has admitted that the fecklessness of Biden, every time he softened his stance on the hostages, it emboldened Hamas, and they went back and changed their stance.
Yes. They are obviously, all Hamas wants to do is extend their existence. And I think, personally, some people think, well, is Trump talking about bringing U.S. troops in, sending U.S. troops in? I hope he does.
Has there been proof of life of the American hostages?
No.
This proof there's American hostages
there. I know that, but
that they're are you
life.
Asking whether they were alive or not?
Correct.
We don't know.
We don't know.
And I personally think they're probably dead.
I think that there should be proof of life before we send any American troops anywhere.
I don't think so. Here's why I disagree. This is an opportunity for Trump to send a definite message to the whole world that the United States, we have a new sheriff in town, and we're not going to be rolling over and let these terrorists, you know, make us into a bunch of wimps. I mean, we can assist. Now, if Israel says, we don't need your assistance, we're going to go ahead and, all right, well, support Israel. But if it means U.S. troops go in there, they send in an attack squad or whatever it takes, do it.
I don't know how it would happen any other way. If we're going to go in and get it done, it's got to be boots on the ground. You don't send missiles in there.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They're pretty indiscriminate.
But right. That would send a tremendous message to the rest of the world. The U.S. is back.
Well, look at the reputation that Jimmy Carter has for weakness when he let those hostages sit there 444 days. And they let them go the day Reagan came into office because they knew.
Yeah.
The game has changed. There's a new sheriff in town.
Yep, yep.
And I think this is one of those instances where Hamas is going to look back at that and think, well, it didn't take 444 days. Now, I think a lot of those hostages are dead, maybe all of them.
Yeah,
and they don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
But
they found four more bodies yesterday, my understanding. Well, they found four more hostages. The Israelis found four more hostages that were dead.
Really? I didn't see
and
that.
And I don't think that we need to send troops, because I think the IDF, if we give them the full arms that they ask for, as instead of Biden, who withheld things, is perfectly capable.
I don't think that's strong enough.
Right.
I don't
either. I think
That's not the way Trump rolls.
I think we need to set the damn flag in and let them know that the U.S. is back and we're not going to be.
Yeah, that's he's not the same guy that drones Soleimani.
He's not going to subcontract the work. No.
No, this is the guy that killed Soleimani.
Yeah, he's that's
not,
true.
Yeah, he's with a drone. We're not going to. In fact, Israel, now I read, is starting their own arms industry so that they're never in this situation again where Biden says, well, if you don't do what I tell you to do, we're not going to ship you any more arms.
By the way,
that's Biden, a good move.
Yeah.
That's a good, yeah, it is.
You know, and shifting gears again, Zelensky is also looking forward to Trump because he believes, at least from what I've read, he believes Trump will end the Russian-Ukraine war.
He just might not be happy with what
He might
what
not
that
be happy with
like.
The ending, but he knows it's going to end.
Well, it's going to end without him getting all that territory back.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
we already know where Zelensky's going to end because he bought that house in London.
Well, he's got lots of houses and lots of money squirreled away somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Where are we going to go?
Compliments of the U.S.
I want to talk about those Presidential Freedom Medals because I feel personally insulted, that Biden intended to insult me and each and every Trump voter, Republican, American, when he gave Liz Cheney, Benny Thompson, who was the head of the committee, when he gave the Presidential Freedom Award to George Soros and Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's just like spitting in our face on the way out the door.
And, you know, to add insult to injury, I think on the same day he also recognized four military men that deserved the Medal of Honor as military men from back in the Vietnam era. And that all happened at the same time.
But to give George Soros an award like that, the highest civilian honor in this country, when he's the one that backed all these leftist DAs in these areas that contributed immensely to the crime rate and so on and so forth, you know, this, like you say, Pat, this is a spitting in the face of the Americans.
And
this is what he's doing.
The award to those who have previously been awarded it that deserved it. It diminishes the value of that.
I agree.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. Poor Rush Limbaugh's rolling over in his grave. You know, he got the medal of he got that medal awarded by Trump. I'm sure he would not want to be with that group.
No.
That's for sure.
Well, we know there will be justice. It will not be here on Earth, but there will be justice.
Perfect justice.
Perfect, yes.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
No, we have a, yes, we have a again, Alan, going back to that 20th Amendment, moving the date of the, again, for the inauguration of the president. Now, we're looking at this inauguration happening essentially, 12 days from when we're recording this.
He can still do a lot more damage.
How much damage?
Yeah, he's got 12 more days to do more. Who knows what he's got up his sleeve?
If you were an employer, and by the way, we are the employer of the president, the vice president, and all of us, if you're an employer in a company, would you allow your employee to get away with this on their way out the door?
Yeah, but our only constitutional remedy is to replace him. And we've done it to the extent of our ability to do so, which is elect a new guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of ironic to me that the Congress at the federal level, they change power before the president does. That is just odd to me.
I'm grateful for that right now.
But it's odd.
It is odd.
Why do they have different inauguration calendars? I mean, they got elected in November. Why do some of them get power earlier than the president?
They have to certify the presidential election.
The reasoning was, and going back many, many years, was if you were electing somebody in California, your representatives and your senators, you're going to elect them. You're going to tally those votes in California and then just transmit the total. But as far as and it used to take a long time, whether it was by Pony Express or however they got across the country. Now, to tally nationwide, in theory, takes a lot longer time.
Yeah, but
time.
They still have, the representatives still have to travel, just like the president does. So that doesn't altogether explain the difference between the delay in changing president and changing Congress. I mean, she raised a valid point. The only thing I can think is that the Congress is needed first because they have to certify Trump's election.
But it would seem to me that you could terminate the executive authority of the current president January 1, even if he's not inaugurated, and even though the new president But it's like he's able to make law after he's no longer president.
Well, he's doing executive orders.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying doesn't seem right.
No, right.
That he can act as president from December 30th to January 20th.
Well, in most cases, they've been acting responsibly, even when they've lost by a big election. Most of the time, they've acted responsibly. What we see is someone being extremely irresponsible.
Right. But I don't agree with that on pardons and commutations and things. I think every president on their way out has done some pardons and commutations that I wouldn't agree with.
Well, in the United Kingdom, it's 5 days. They get rid of a prime minister. They have to be out of office within 5 days. 5 days would work for me.
I like that, too.
Not 76 days. Yeah. All this stuff, not all of it. I mean, he could have been prepared to do some of it, but a lot of it would have been curtailed.
Well, even if it's from November 5th to December 30th, the clear cutoff day with the new year.
Yeah. One of the things that we learned, actually, now essentially 8 years ago, when Trump first became president, and he had no idea who to trust coming into D.C., and he had no idea how deep the deep state was, and he had to deal with trying to find reasonable people. Now, he was not always successful. Now he's used this time to find more loyal servants or whatever.
Servants.
Come on,
Bob. Well, public servants.
Public servants. Yes.
Appointees.
I think he's spent this time finding more loyal folks.
But even that process, Bob, takes too damn long. It shouldn't take that long. I mean, if you're running for president and you have a good probability you're going to be elected, you should have people lined up already. So when you come in office, you're ready to roll. Just like you said, you take over a company and you know you're going to be prepared for it. And the old person you're moving out is going to be out.
I don't think Trump thought he was going to win in 2016. Oh.
I'm talking about now. I mean, he knew he.
But in 2016, I don't think he knew he was going to win. He didn't have anybody ready to go.
Should have been prepared anyway.
Well, we've been talking about this transition timing, but something that just has happened was the Lake and Riley. It was talked about earlier off script here, but Lake and Riley Act. And what's really amazing to me is it was a 264 to 159 vote. It's 159 Democrats, so over three-quarters of the Democrats voted against that bill.
Right.
Three-quarters of the Democrats voted against that bill.
And that was the girl in Atlanta that was killed by the illegal.
It had to do with murder. It had to do with theft and burglary. The bill says theft and burglary, you must detain and deport. And the Democrats weren't willing to cover that.
Weren't willing to cover that?
And I don't know why that would be included in a bill called Lake and Riley. You would think that was had to do something to do with their murder.
Well, but there were so many of what you just said that he had perpetrated, I guess. He murdered at the end.
Right.
Prior. So he would have been caught with that.
He shouldn't have come back into the country. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If bale and wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now we're going to talk about something more local than North Carolina, that the Supreme Court.
The federal judge has ruled that the 60,000 votes that Jefferson Griffin, who's a candidate for North Carolina Supreme Court, that he's challenging, that the final decision on that will be made by the North Carolina Supreme Court. Which is as it should be, because it's a state's issue under the state constitution, and the federal courts have to defer to state courts to make the final. They're considered to be the final authority on state law. So he sent it back to the state, and so we're going to have to wait and see what happens now.
I think that no matter what happens, the media is going to portray this, if Jefferson Griffin is successful in his appeal of those 60,000 votes, that the Democrats will say that it was a stolen election, because the State Board of Election is a Democrat majority. And the Supreme Court currently is a Republican majority. So they're going to say it's a political decision, not a justified or correct decision.
Why do you care?
I'm giving information.
I just don't care what they say.
The bottom line in my perspective is that the State Board of Election has broken North Carolina law and allowed 60,000 plus registrations to occur. Those ballots should never have been issued. Then we wouldn't be in this mess right now. Ballots were illegally given out. They never should have been allowed to vote.
So that you just explained is a reason why we don't care what they say, the Democrats.
Right.
And you know,
they're not going to agree with whatever we do. It's got anything to do with the Republican, they're going to criticize it anyway. So just gear up and let it blow.
And I don't think it's an accident that if you look back, as Mary was pointing out earlier, historically, that when most of these incidents occur, where they come up with these additional ballots after Election Day and so on and so forth, that come in, well, we just found another 50,000, 60,000. The Democrats always win when that happens. Is that just Pure coincidence? Yeah, right. Believe that. And I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn.
And at least this time we're putting up a good fight.
Right.
Well, I applaud Griffin for doing it. But it does point out the whole thing, too, about the absurdity of all these mail-in ballots. We need to get away from it. We're just go through this over and over and over. That's why some of the other countries like France, they did away with all these mail-in absentee ballots.
But it's this also leads to the validity of the change that the General Assembly is doing with putting the State Board of Election under the State Auditor's Office. This gives validity to why that is necessary.
I agree.
The State Board of Election is unelected, unaccountable, appointed by the governor in power, and so for however many years they've been in power, these contested races have always gone to the Democrats.
I agree with you 100%. That's a good point.
And I think our new auditor will do a great job on doing a cleanup.
And he's a Republican.
He happens to be a Republican. Trying to shine light on the processes. Yes.
The State Board of Elections has been corrupt for years.
There have
been complaints. Well, I read as far back as 2012 on the State Board of Elections and in inefficiencies and inaccuracies. And I follow Major Dave, as I'm sure many of our listeners do, and he's continuing to find discrepancies that he's bringing to the attention of our General Assembly in hopes of making more electoral changes.
And here we are at over 2 months after the election, and he's still, Dave Goetz, as you're saying, is still finding where all of a sudden thousands of people are added to our state rolls that voted in the election back November 5th. And here they're added to the state rolls 2 days ago. Well, 3 days ago, Sunday. They were added to our rolls back on Sunday. They voted, but they're not in the rolls. How does that happen?
Okay. And here's the here's an opportunity that the GOP and Republicans have to make some major changes in how our elections are being run. It's time to do that. Not playing around trying to, you know, address each little discrepancy that comes up. Change it and get back to something that's not so easily manipulated. And now my understanding, and, you know, I've been out of town for a couple of weeks, my understanding is that the Republicans now have a majority in both houses. They had the majority in the Senate from the election, and then they announced they flipped some Democrat from Mecklenburg County, some lady who has been a Democrat for years, she flipped over, and now they're going to have a majority in
a
the House.
A supermajority,
supermajority. Thank you for clarifying. Which will allow them to override Governor Stein's vetoes.
I hadn't heard that we had somebody since the election flip.
Yes,
Republican.
It was just announced last week.
That is great.
And the lady said she used the typical thing that I'm not leaving the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party's left me because they've gone so far to the left. I don't know the lady's name, but my understanding is that happened. And I hope to God that that's true.
Yeah.
Because that will empower the Republicans to do things that they would not have been able to do before. So
we can neuter Stein neutered Cooper.
Yep.
Yeah, he's neutering.
We would not have had the tax cuts that we've had in recent years without the Republican legislation and the fact that they could override the governor's vetoes.
Yeah. So, of course, they got to be in lockstep, but they've done a good job of when there was an important bill and it got vetoed, they have been in lockstep to override that veto. Well, they're doing well at the state level.
Let's talk about the federal government for a second and the differences in the Republicans and Democrats. And I sure hope that the Republicans will learn to go in lockstep, because right now I'm not very sure that Trump's going to have all of the rhinos fall in line. He's already had issues with people, like with the House vote, even though he did end up getting Johnson over the finish line. People need to stop their personal agendas and realize that Trump did get elected with a mandate, and it is what the people want. And those senators and congressmen better get in line and let Trump's agenda be the forefront and not their individual agendas.
Well, I think the 100%. Opposition to Trump last time, and I think it will be this time, will come mainly from the Republican Party.
I agree, and they're already talking about one bill or two bills and how difficult it's going to be to get anything passed. And we're fighting with our own, with ourselves.
Well, I don't think John Thune is any friend of the Trump agenda.
I don't either.
And I think that's going to be a problem. However, again, Trump is a negotiator, and he knows how to apply pressure. And I'm hoping that he will be able to apply enough pressure to Thune to counter the pressure that is going to be applied by Mitch McConnell.
What I would rather see, and not a 1,500-page bill, but I would rather see 100 two-page bills that are easily understandable on their own.
Yeah,
they need to be written in basic English.
Sixth grade level. So AOC can understand.
So AOC can understand it and vote against it. That's right.
But if Trump truly, as he says he is going to do things for the American people, then there should be no fear in doing a two-page bill that says exactly what he's doing.
But that's not the process we're in. We're in this reconciliation.
That's
got to
right.
be big. There's two big bills or one big, 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 beautiful bill. I mean, that's what we're going to end up
having.
That's
because of the filibuster.
So that's the main thing there. Right. But these folks have to understand they wouldn't have the slim majority or the little bit bigger majority in the Senate if it hadn't have been for Trump winning and helping those other people win.
Right.
We would have been in the minority in this election. We'd have lost the presidency. We'd have been in the minority on everything. So they should just say, look, it's going to be better than it would have been, and move on. But, hey, I do think Trump will help them negotiate, help them show the people back home they got them something, and everybody gives them something, and it's better for the people.
Personal agendas need to be gone. We need to be America first, not me first.
Well, the ego of a sitting U.S. senator are pretty huge, and the never-Trump Republicans are still in there.
That's true.
Yes, they are.
True.
Although I will say that President Trump has learned from his first term, and I think his cabinet choices have been picked much more carefully.
Well, I think he has more political leverage this time because he has a mandate.
That is
he
true.
Won the Electoral College, all seven swing states, the popular vote.
But he doesn't have 4 years. He has 2 years.
But the other thing that he does have is he has X, formerly known as Twitter. He has X, and also we heard Zuckerberg say, now this Mary
I got censored this morning.
I was going to say, Zuckerberg said that he's not censoring anymore, but Mary got censored this morning. So.
It hasn't gone into effect
with
yet.
Mary exempted, everybody else.
What did
okay.
you say that they censored?
Oh, I shared a post that contrasted the news coverage that Greta Thunberg gets with an actual climate scientist. And they told me it was insufficient information, misleading content, and gave me the option to delete it.
Well, so this third-party evaluation must not be extracted yet. But I will say this. I don't trust that movement a little bit to the right at all. It's because politically, if he wants to have a successful business, he better get in line.
Get on
to
line
some
today.
Level.
Yes.
Get on board.
Because Twitter, since Elon Musk took it over, is the wild, wild west. It is a very interesting.
I don't do Twitter. I don't want to waste my time.
Me either. I don't do it.
Well, Twitter has been the source of a lot of good news stories that you can go find and check on other sources with.
And they also have some questionable language in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes I look at those stories like I used to look at the National Enquirer. It must be true.
That was Men
Alien
in Black.
Alien babies?
That's right. Must
Men
be
in
right.
Black.
The Enquirer said so.
Okay.
Those are UFOs over New Jersey.
Oh, I think they're called drones today.
Folks, I think we're out of time. I think we've. I want to say you folks have a wonderful week. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Yeehaw! Yes.